A number of years ago, Professor John McIntyre, speaking at the Edinburgh Festival, was talking about the art of religion. And he spoke of the day of Pentecost as a day when we saw the wholehearted expression of the almost unlimited imagination of God. And that's a great thought for us today. The Holy Spirit is an experience let loose on the church and in the world of the imagination of God. And that's exactly what happened on that first Pentecost, on that morning when the disciples and the others found themselves gathered together in fear, hiding away. The imagination of God was let loose on them. The imagination of God was also let loose on the people who were in Jerusalem, and indeed extended out to an unsuspecting world. On that first Pentecost morning, the disciples and the other believers were gathered in that upper room in Jerusalem. They'd been told to wait and to pray for the Holy Spirit, for the powerful presence of God to come upon them. And so these disciples waited, and they prayed, and they waited some more, and they prayed again. And suddenly, on Pentecost morning, there were like tongues of fire coming down on each one of them. Suddenly there was a new energy. Suddenly there was a new power within them. Suddenly they began to speak in different languages as the Holy Spirit enabled them. The languages of the Medes and the Cappadocians, the Asians, the Egyptians, the Libyans, and many others. And suddenly it was made clear to the disciples. They were not to remain in Jerusalem, but they were to go into the entire world, proclaiming the goodness about Jesus Christ in the various mother tongues of the nations they entered. On that first Pentecost morning, there was a new sense of mission imparted to these once fearful, hiding disciples. These men and women sensed a new purpose, a new goal, a new destiny. Their destiny was to go into the entire world and proclaim the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Their purpose became absolutely clear to them. They were to boldly proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. No longer did they have to ask what their mission was to be. There was a new power within, a new energy and a new urgency to carry out their mission. The energy inside them was there to help them accomplish their goals. These people had new courage to face all sorts of persecutions which lay ahead of them. They had a new boldness as to be more outspoken about their faith than they had ever been. And they had a new powerful passion within them to stand before their family and their friends and their neighbours, before their fellow workers, and to boldly tell the good news of Jesus Christ and his impact on their daily lives. On that Pentecost morning, there was plenty of power spilling out around them. There was power, but there was also a new sense of community. As we go on to read in Luke's accounts, these eyewitness accounts he's gathered together in the early chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, then we read that the first Christians took their possessions and sold their material goods, and they helped those who were in need. They loved each other so much that they sold their possessions in order to help each other. And so along with the experience of the power of God's Spirit within them, there was this new sense of love within the community. A community where people shared their problems, where they shared each other's tragedies, where they rejoiced together, where they shared their resources. These were not a handful of individuals, even a few hundred individuals, or a few thousand individuals, as it turned out that day, sitting together in a room. These were not individuals who couldn't care less what was happening to the person next to them. These were people who had experienced community, love, the sharing of resources like they'd never experienced it before. And that is what happened early one morning in Jerusalem around the year AD 30, 50 days after the Jewish Passover. It was called Pentecost. And although they were yet to coin the name, that came later, these people that day became Pentecostal Christians. Last week, lectionary reading was from the first chapter of the book of Acts, and we read together the words of Jesus in Acts 1:8, when he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, I'm not sure about you, but one of the things I find most difficult in my life is talking personally to somebody about Jesus Christ. And what a contrast between your and my life and the lives of those first Pentecostal Christians all these years ago. Yes, I can stand up before you and preach a sermon. I'm trained to do that. God's called me to that task. But sometimes it's still difficult for me to talk to my unchurched neighbour about Jesus Christ. And you may have similar feelings. That is, you can easily talk with your neighbour about the weather, about your gardens, maybe about the rabbits. Perhaps they come into your garden like they come into ours and eat all the new flowers. You can talk about your families, your cars, your work, even politics. You can talk so easily about so many things. But sometimes it's difficult to talk one-on-one about Jesus Christ. And caught up in this situation, you might sense a resistance welling up inside of you, a fear, an anxiety, an uneasiness. And you say to yourself, why am I afraid to talk with my nice neighbour about Jesus Christ? Well, of course, there are all sorts of different reasons for that. Perhaps you don't want to be pushy. You don't want to be pushy about Jesus Christ or the church. And as the saying goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force it to drink. And your nice neighbour knows where the church is. He or she can find it for themselves. They can come if they want to. Or perhaps you don't want to be identified with those Jehovah's Witnesses or these Mormons who turn up at your door in their blue suits wearing their name badges. But basically, these are all dodges and rationalizations. And you come to realize that you just don't know how to do it. You just don't know how to talk about your faith in Jesus Christ to another person, especially another unchurched person. And if you try to do that, it kind of makes you feel squeamish inside. Well, I think part of the problem is that you and I have grown up in a kind of Corpus Christianum. These fancy words that mean for several generations we've grown up in a Christian culture where everyone around us we've assumed was Christian, and so we never needed to talk about Jesus Christ. The culture around us seemed Christian, and there are church buildings all over the place. Our societal values seem for so long to go hand in hand with the kind of values and teaching we heard about in church. And people all around us, even if they didn't come to church, seem to go along with how the Bible tells us how we should live. And if everyone around you seems to be embracing a basically Christian, in inverted commas, Christian lifestyle, then why do we need to talk to them about Christ? And so for generations, those of us in the church have never really learned to talk to other people about Jesus Christ one-on-one because we've never needed to. And basically today, we don't know how to do that because we've never learned, we've never been taught how to do that. But today, 2008, here in Dunfermline, you and I are living in a very different context. We're living in a new culture, and there's a whole new ball game going on around us. That's why the Christian Institute are having this meeting about being salt and light in God's world down at the King Malcolm Hotel on the 20th of May. We're living in a world, even in this country, we think of politicians who last month voted out of existence the blasphemy laws which for generations have been upheld in this land. And they're putting into place all sorts of other laws promoting a very ungodly, unchristian, unbiblical lifestyle. We think of television and the other media, which nowadays pays lip service to Christian values, the values which underpin their very foundation. We think of the relationship between home and church and school, which has utterly broken down. And so the Christian faith and biblical values are just not taught to the younger generations anymore. And by that, I mean they've not been taught to anyone under 50. And today, even here in Dunfermline, with its many churches, there are huge numbers of people around us who simply do not believe in Jesus Christ. They do not belong to any church. They no longer try to aspire to the values of the Christian faith. And at the same time, so many of us who are mainline Christians, Presbyterians, Roman Catholics, Baptists, members of the United Reformed Church, Episcopalians, so many of us mainline Christians just do not have the skills or the habits or the attitudes to talk with unchurched people about Jesus Christ. And as I've said, in some ways it's not really our fault. We've never been taught to do that. It's not our heritage. It's not our roots. And the consequence of growing up in a culture that we thought was Christian is what has debilitated us in so many ways. One of the reasons for our inner uneasiness in talking with our nice neighbours and our church friends about Jesus Christ is that we have gradually changed the essential mission of the church. Now, the primary mission of the Pentecostal church and these Pentecostal Christians, their primary mission was to go out into the world. Beginning where they were, but spreading out through the world. They were to go out teaching and baptizing and making disciples of all people. But nearly 2,000 years later, so many Christians feel uneasy about carrying out the primary mission of the church. And so we subtly change the mission of the church to something we can live with a bit easier. And we change the mission of the church to teaching our Christian heritage and values and beliefs to our families and our children. And our primary Christian purpose then becomes perhaps bringing our children to Sunday school and to worship so that hopefully they will become little Christians with like-minded values and belief systems. But today we even see that approach beginning to fail. And so the purpose of the church today has become a bit like the purpose of Judaism. And that is to transmit our heritage, our liturgy, our worship patterns, our values and beliefs, simply down to the next generation of the family. And as families get smaller and smaller, so does the church. You see, Judaism doesn't really reach out beyond its walls to others. It simply teaches the faith safely within its walls. Last weekend, albeit safely ensconced within the walls of Ingolstone, the Church of Scotland gathered to celebrate church without walls. And today we gather in our church buildings. And over the coming week, the General Assembly will gather in the Assembly Hall in Edinburgh and they'll pore over the reports which have been written by committees over the past year or so. And in so doing, much of our time and much of our effort is continued to be focused on ourselves, on our traditions, on our values. And we lose sight of the primary mission of the church, to go out with the gospel. Today, at the start of Christian Aid Week, I think we need to let ourselves begin to regain a realistic worldview. A worldview that stretches from the town centre and the suburbs of Dunfermline all the way out to Burma and Iraq, to Malawi and Sri Lanka, and all of the other desperate parts of the world. You see, our purpose today on Pentecost Sunday is just the same as it was for the first Christians gathered in Jerusalem. And that is to pray that a miracle will occur and that God will create Pentecostal Christians today who are on fire for Jesus Christ. Pentecostal Christians today who have the energy to do God's work in the world. Pentecostal Christians today who will speak out boldly and openly about Jesus Christ and his power in our lives. But you might ask, well, how does God create Pentecostal Christians of the likes of me today? That's a big question. How does God create Pentecostal Christians out of mainline Christians so that we are more bold and more courageous in speaking about our faith in Jesus Christ? You see, a Pentecostal Christian is not somebody who prayerfully speaks in strange tongues, But really, a Pentecostal Christian is someone who speaks openly and plainly and effectively and boldly about Jesus Christ. And it's quite simple how God does that. He gives us the courage, He gives us the words to be Pentecostal Christians. Yes, I know it takes courage to speak with our neighbours and our friends and our family about Jesus Christ and His impact on our lives. Maybe we've done it before and felt rejected. It takes a lot of courage to go back and do it again. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit on that first Pentecost day and on this Pentecost Sunday is just the same. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to give Christians like you and me backbone and stamina and boldness, to give us wisdom to handle tension and rejection. And Christians have always had to learn courage for the issues facing them. Christians had to learn courage a couple hundred years ago when they were standing up and opposing the evil of the slave trade in this country and throughout the British Empire. American Christians in the 1950s and 60s had to learn courage when they began standing up and speaking out about the black and white issue in their own country. More recently, Christians have had to learn courage about making a stand against nuclear weapons and illegal wars. And so today, we Christians have to learn to stand up and stand out for what is right. And in so doing, we have to be prepared to face the consequences. You know, if you're young and everyone around you, so it seems, is using drugs or booze or having sex or abortions, you need to learn to handle the pressures. And if you're older and if you find yourself in the workplace, you need to learn courage to make ethical business decisions. And all of us have to learn courage to take a stand against a culture that is careering headlong into a sinful use of genetics, as we see the creation of human-animal hybrids and chimeras, of clones, as we see an almost callous disregard for the sanctity of life. And similarly, it takes courage to finally talk to someone about Jesus Christ. Just plain courage. But the wonderful truth is that God has always given the courage necessary for us to handle each and every situation. God has never failed in His promise to give us strength and courage. That's just the way it is. But God not only gives us courage, but God gives us the words, the actual words, to speak to a neighbour or a friend or a member of our family. That doesn't mean that we need to go off to Bible school and learn canned speeches that you memorise for specific occasions. But throughout the centuries and throughout every culture that Christianity has gone into, God has always provided the right words for His people to speak in given situations. And by the gift of the Holy Spirit, God's Pentecostal power is inside of us, you and me, giving us both courage and words. Now, we should never be pushy. Nobody likes to be pushed. We shouldn't try to be preachy and sound like what we're saying is a sermon. Nor should we be phony, pretending that we are holier than thou. Nor should we assume that the person we're talking to isn't already a Christian. That always gets us into trouble. But we should love the people we are speaking to. We should love them as people. We should learn to love people into the kingdom of God, to be sensitive to their needs and address their needs, not our needs. We should ask questions about their faith. And we need to believe in Jesus Christ ourselves. You can never win someone if you're half committed yourself. We need to initiate conversations about faith and about God. And you'll find that people do actually want to talk about faith and God. And we should never be so timid about what other people want to talk about. You never know when the timing is right. So we need to bring Jesus up in conversation. You know, I love the way that my little daughter, Ruth, at the age of just 3, talks with anyone and everyone. She talks about the things that are important to her. She very naturally talks about these things. And it was the prophet Isaiah who said, "A little child shall lead them." And children are a great example in this. And we should follow their example. Break out of our confining habits. Break out of the past. Be Pentecostal Christians and just talk naturally about our faith with those around us. Thank heavens, none of us are confined to the habits that we've learned in the past. Just like shells on turtles, we slowly outgrow our shell of the past and we break it open and begin to develop a new shell. Our shell of religious silence from the past is no longer adequate. We must grow a new shell for a new day, for a new life in this new century. The past religious silence is no longer adequate for this day. So what's the purpose of Pentecost? It's very simple. The purpose of Pentecost is to create Pentecostal Christians. People just like you and just like me. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are the source and you are the sustaining power of the church. Fan the flame within us. Give us the opportunities and give us the words to speak of Jesus Christ this week, to tell the story of your work in this world. Amen. A number of years ago, Professor John McIntyre, speaking at the Edinburgh Festival, was talking about the art of religion. And he spoke of the day of Pentecost as a day when we saw the wholehearted expression of the almost unlimited imagination of God. And that's a great thought for us today. The Holy Spirit is an experience let loose on the church and in the world of the imagination of God. And that's exactly what happened on that first Pentecost, on that morning when the disciples and the others found themselves gathered together in fear, hiding away. The imagination of God was let loose on them. The imagination of God was also let loose on the people who were in Jerusalem, and indeed extended out to an unsuspecting world. On that first Pentecost morning, the disciples and the other believers were gathered in that upper room in Jerusalem. They'd been told to wait and to pray for the Holy Spirit, for the powerful presence of God to come upon them. And so these disciples waited, and they prayed, and they waited some more, and they prayed again. And suddenly, on Pentecost morning, there were like tongues of fire coming down on each one of them. Suddenly there was a new energy. Suddenly there was a new power within them. Suddenly they began to speak in different languages as the Holy Spirit enabled them. The languages of the Medes and the Cappadocians, the Asians, the Egyptians, the Libyans, and many others. And suddenly it was made clear to the disciples. They were not to remain in Jerusalem, but they were to go into the entire world, proclaiming the goodness about Jesus Christ in the various mother tongues of the nations they entered. On that first Pentecost morning, there was a new sense of mission imparted to these once fearful, hiding disciples. These men and women sensed a new purpose, a new goal, a new destiny. Their destiny was to go into the entire world and proclaim the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Their purpose became absolutely clear to them. They were to boldly proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. No longer did they have to ask what their mission was to be. There was a new power within, a new energy and a new urgency to carry out their mission. The energy inside them was there to help them accomplish their goals. These people had new courage to face all sorts of persecutions which lay ahead of them. They had a new boldness as to be more outspoken about their faith than they had ever been. And they had a new powerful passion within them to stand before their family and their friends and their neighbours, before their fellow workers, and to boldly tell the good news of Jesus Christ and his impact on their daily lives. On that Pentecost morning, there was plenty of power spilling out around them. There was power, but there was also a new sense of community. As we go on to read in Luke's accounts, these eyewitness accounts he's gathered together in the early chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, then we read that the first Christians took their possessions and sold their material goods, and they helped those who were in need. They loved each other so much that they sold their possessions in order to help each other. And so along with the experience of the power of God's Spirit within them, there was this new sense of love within the community. A community where people shared their problems, where they shared each other's tragedies, where they rejoiced together, where they shared their resources. These were not a handful of individuals, even a few hundred individuals, or a few thousand individuals, as it turned out that day, sitting together in a room. These were not individuals who couldn't care less what was happening to the person next to them. These were people who had experienced community, love, the sharing of resources like they'd never experienced it before. And that is what happened early one morning in Jerusalem around the year AD 30, 50 days after the Jewish Passover. It was called Pentecost. And although they were yet to coin the name, that came later, these people that day became Pentecostal Christians. Last week, lectionary reading was from the first chapter of the book of Acts, and we read together the words of Jesus in Acts 1:8. But he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, I'm not sure about you, but one of the things I find most difficult in my life is talking personally to somebody about Jesus Christ. And what a contrast between your and my life and the lives of those first Pentecostal Christians all these years ago. Yes, I can stand up before you and preach a sermon. I'm trained to do that. God's called me to that task. But sometimes it's still difficult for me to talk to my unchurched neighbour about Jesus Christ. And you may have similar feelings. That is, you can easily talk with your neighbour about the weather, about your gardens, maybe about the rabbits. Perhaps they come into your garden like they come into ours and eat all the new flowers. You can talk about your families, your cars, your work, even politics. You can talk so easily about so many things. But sometimes it's difficult to talk one-on-one about Jesus Christ. And caught up in this situation, you might sense a resistance welling up inside of you, a fear, an anxiety, an uneasiness. And you say to yourself, why am I afraid to talk with my nice neighbour about Jesus Christ? Well, of course, there are all sorts of different reasons for that. Perhaps you don't want to be pushy. You don't want to be pushy about Jesus Christ or the church. And as the saying goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force it to drink. And your nice neighbour knows where the church is. He or she can find it for themselves. They can come if they want to. Or perhaps you don't want to be identified with those Jehovah's Witnesses or these Mormons who turn up at your door in their blue suits wearing their name badges. But basically these are all dodges and rationalizations. And you come to realize that you just don't know how to do it. You just don't know how to talk about your faith in Jesus Christ to another person, especially another unchurched person. And if you try to do that, it kind of makes you feel squeamish inside. Well, I think part of the problem is that you and I have grown up in a kind of Corpus Christianum. These fancy words that mean for several generations we've grown up in a Christian culture where everyone around us we've assumed was Christian, and so we never needed to talk about Jesus Christ. The culture around us seemed Christian. And there are church buildings all over the place. Our societal values seem for so long to go hand in hand with the kind of values and teaching we heard about in church. And people all around us, even if they didn't come to church, seem to go along with how the Bible tells us how we should live. And if everyone around you seems to be embracing a basically Christian, in inverted commas, Christian lifestyle, then why do we need to talk to them about Christ? And so for generations, Those of us in the church have never really learned to talk to other people about Jesus Christ one-on-one, because we've never needed to. And basically today, we don't know how to do that because we've never learned, we've never been taught how to do that. But today, 2008, here in Dunfermline, you and I are living in a very different context. We're living in a new culture, and there's a whole new ball game going on around us. That's why the Christian Institute are having this meeting about being salt and light in God's world down at the King Malcolm Hotel on the 20th of May. We're living in a world, even in this country, we think of politicians who last month voted out of existence the blasphemy laws which for generations have been upheld in this land. And they're putting into place all sorts of other laws promoting a very ungodly, unchristian, unbiblical lifestyle. We think of television and the other media, which nowadays pays lip service to Christian values, the values which underpin their very foundation. We think of the relationship between home and church and school, which has utterly broken down. And so the Christian faith and biblical values are just not taught to the younger generations anymore. And by that, I mean they've not been taught to anyone under 50. And today, even here in Dunfermline, with its many churches, there are huge numbers of people around us who simply do not believe in Jesus Christ. They do not belong to any church. They no longer try to aspire to the values of the Christian faith. And at the same time, so many of us who are mainline Christians, Presbyterians, Roman Catholics, Baptists, members of the United Reformed Church, Episcopalians, so many of us mainline Christians just do not have the skills or the habits or the attitudes to talk with unchurched people about Jesus Christ. And as I've said, in some ways it's not really our fault. We've never been taught to do that. It's not our heritage. It's not our roots. And the consequence of growing up in a culture that we thought was Christian is what has debilitated us in so many ways. One of the reasons for our inner uneasiness in talking with our nice neighbours and our church friends about Jesus Christ is that we have gradually changed the essential mission of the church. Now, the primary mission of the Pentecostal church and these Pentecostal Christians, their primary mission was to go out into the world. Beginning where they were, but spreading out through the world. They were to go out teaching and baptizing and making disciples of all people. But nearly 2,000 years later, so many Christians feel uneasy about carrying out the primary mission of the church. And so we subtly change the mission of the church to something we can live with a bit easier. And we change the mission of the church to teaching our Christian heritage and values and beliefs to our families and our children. And our primary Christian purpose then becomes perhaps bringing our children to Sunday school and to worship so that hopefully they will become little Christians with like-minded values and belief systems. But today we even see that approach beginning to fail. And so the purpose of the church today has become a bit like the purpose of Judaism. And that is to transmit our heritage, our liturgy, our worship patterns, our values and beliefs, simply down to the next generation of the family. And as families get smaller and smaller, so does the church. You see, Judaism doesn't really reach out beyond its walls to others. It simply teaches the faith safely within its walls. Last weekend, albeit safely ensconced within the walls of Ingolstone, the Church of Scotland gathered to celebrate church without walls. And today we gather in our church buildings. And over the coming week, the General Assembly will gather in the Assembly Hall in Edinburgh and they'll pore over the reports which have been written by committees over the past year or so. And in so doing, much of our time and much of our effort is continued to be focused on ourselves, on our traditions, on our values. And we lose sight of the primary mission of the church, to go out with the gospel. Today, at the start of Christian Aid Week, I think we need to let ourselves begin to regain a realistic worldview. A worldview that stretches from the town centre and the suburbs of Dunfermline all the way out to Burma and Iraq to Malawi and Sri Lanka and all of the other desperate parts of the world. You see, our purpose today on Pentecost Sunday is just the same as it was for the first Christians gathered in Jerusalem. And that is to pray that a miracle will occur and that God will create Pentecostal Christians today who are on fire for Jesus Christ. Pentecostal Christians today who have the energy to do God's work in the world. Pentecostal Christians today who will speak out boldly and openly about Jesus Christ and his power in our lives. But you might ask, well, how does God create Pentecostal Christians of the likes of me today? That's a big question. How does God create Pentecostal Christians out of mainline Christians so that we are more bold and more courageous in speaking about our faith in Jesus Christ? You see, a Pentecostal Christian is not somebody who prayerfully speaks in strange tongues. But really, a Pentecostal Christian is someone who speaks openly and plainly and effectively and boldly about Jesus Christ. And it's quite simple how God does that. He gives us the courage, he gives us the words to be Pentecostal Christians. Yes, I know it takes courage to speak with our neighbours and our friends and our family about Jesus Christ and his impact on our lives. Maybe we've done it before and felt rejected. It takes a lot of courage to go back and do it again. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit on that first Pentecost day and on this Pentecost Sunday is just the same. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to give Christians like you and me backbone and stamina and boldness, to give us wisdom to handle tension and rejection. And Christians have always had to learn courage for the issues facing them. Christians had to learn courage a couple of hundred years ago when they were standing up and opposing the evil of the slave trade in this country and throughout the British Empire. American Christians in the 1950s and 60s had to learn courage when they began standing up and speaking out about the black and white issue in their own country. More recently, Christians have had to learn courage about making a stand against nuclear weapons and illegal wars. And so today, we Christians have to learn to stand up and stand out for what is right. And in so doing, we have to be prepared to face the consequences. You know, if you're young and everyone around you, so it seems, is using drugs or booze or having sex or abortions, you need to learn to handle the pressures. And if you're older and if you find yourself in the workplace, you need to learn courage to make ethical business decisions. And all of us have to learn courage to take a stand against a culture that is careering headlong into a sinful use of genetics, as we see the creation of human-animal hybrids and chimeras, of clones, as we see an almost callous disregard for the sanctity of life. And similarly, it takes courage to finally talk to someone about Jesus Christ. Just plain courage. But the wonderful truth is that God has always given the courage necessary for us to handle each and every situation. God has never failed in his promise to give us strength and courage. That's just the way it is. But God not only gives us courage, but God gives us the words, the actual words, to speak to a neighbour or a friend or a member of our family. That doesn't mean that we need to go off to Bible school and learn canned speeches that you memorise for specific occasions. But throughout the centuries and throughout every culture that Christianity has gone into, God has always provided the right words for his people to speak in given situations. And by the gift of the Holy Spirit, God's Pentecostal power is inside of us, you and me. giving us both courage and words. Now, we should never be pushy. Nobody likes to be pushed. We shouldn't try to be preachy and sound like what we're saying is a sermon. Nor should we be phony, pretending that we are holier than thou. Nor should we assume that the person we're talking to isn't already a Christian. That always gets us into trouble. But we should love the people we are speaking to. We should love them as people. We should learn to love people into the kingdom of God. To be sensitive to their needs and address their needs, not our needs. We should ask questions about their faith. And we need to believe in Jesus Christ ourselves. You can never win someone if you're half committed yourself. And we need to initiate conversations about faith and about God. And you'll find that people do actually want to talk about faith and God. And we should never be so timid about what other people want to talk about. You never know when the timing is right. So we need to bring Jesus up in conversation. You know, I love the way that my little daughter, Ruth, at the age of just 3, talks with anyone and everyone. She talks about the things that are important to her. She very naturally talks about these things. And it was the prophet Isaiah who said, "A little child shall lead them." And children are a great example in this. And we should follow their example. Break out of our confining habits. Break out of the past. Be Pentecostal Christians and just talk naturally about our faith with those around us. Thank heavens, none of us are confined to the habits that we've learned in the past. Just like shells on turtles, we slowly outgrow our shell of the past and we break it open and begin to develop a new shell. Our shell of religious silence from the past is no longer adequate. We must grow a new shell for a new day, for a new life in this new century. The past religious silence is no longer adequate for this day. So what's the purpose of Pentecost? It's very simple. The purpose of Pentecost is to create Pentecostal Christians, people just like you and just like me. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are the source and you are the sustaining power of the church. Fan the flame within us. Give us the opportunities and give us the words to speak of Jesus Christ this week, to tell the story of your work in this world. Amen.